Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevieri and my ever awesome co-host, Amy Cornell. And today's show was a listener recommendation, so we're always excited to get those. And this author asked us if we would do a show on words to avoid to trigger getting your book reviews on Amazon pulled. So in other words, words in the body of the review. And it's interesting because when I first saw the email, I thought, huh. And then she included a Reddit link to a discussion. And I kind of went down that rabbit hole. But it was interesting. There was a whole big conversation about words to use and words not to use and phraseology and things like that. But I think the heart of it, Amy, and this is where you and I were talking about in the green room, the heart of this is that we're all a little gun shy about reviews getting pulled on Amazon. And I think at the end of the day, none of us wants that. But the other piece of this that we'll talk about too is that sometimes when a review gets pulled, it's not always necessarily related to the review, but the person who's reviewing it.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex than just the review itself, but because we've seen a number of reasons and then for no reason at all, you know, I mean, obviously Amazon had a reason, we assume, but, you know, some very successful by the book authors still will get reviews pulled and it really makes no sense. It's frustrating.
It is frustrating. And I think that we, you know, we want to do everything we can to keep all the reviews that we have on our Amazon book pages. The first piece of this, so something that I noticed on this Reddit thread is that I felt like there was some overthinking going on. So a bunch of years ago, and you know, time is such a weird thing, Amy. I mean, this has to be maybe 7 years ago now that the FTC regulated reviews and free books. And there was a whole conversation about it in the industry. And basically, if you get a book, if somebody has given you a book, like a reviewer or one of your readers or something, and you know, you've said, well, here's a book in exchange, I want a review. Your review has to say something along the lines of, I received a copy of this book in exchange for an honest review. And one of the things that I saw in this Reddit string was that folks are getting really creative about terminology and saying things like, you know, thanks to the author for letting me read this book for free. I'm leaving this review of my own accord, which I guess is okay. But then a couple of other ones said that they had readers who were posting that they got the book for free on BookSprout. And
oh,
right. I know. but to me, I am always leery about, I'm always hesitant to give Amazon too much information.
100%.
So, I mean, the purposes of this is really Amy and I, because Amy actually asked me again, when we were in the green room, she goes, what are authors going to learn from this podcast? And I said, well, you know, it's important to be educated. It's important to be educated and then educate your reviewers and your readers, whether you have a mailing list, whether you post this on your social channels and ask for a free review. You have to be the one making sure that they know, you know, what the guidelines are. And, we don't hear it as much anymore. I think just because, I mean, sadly, I think authors have become accustomed to, you know, every now and again, or they lose a review for whatever weird and strange reason. Sure. But there was a time when we heard this a lot, right?
Yep. And to your point, I mean, I think the more, and by creative, we don't mean deceptive, but I think the more honest and natural the reviewer makes it sound, the less likely it will be to get pulled. And that's just from, again, as you said, Penny, a trigger. things trigger Amazon. And as we're talking about this, I'm thinking of my, you know, recent experiences with the A-plus content. Then that's shifted a lot with Amazon too. What they're kicking back, what they're allowing, what they're approving, what they're having issues with. And I won't go into all those details, but I know I shared some frustrations with you recently, you know, how we had to, it was kind of a guessing game, but it was the way we presented the exact same information, but how it was presented in the A-plus content that finally got it approved. So specific wording, things like that, Amazon is absolutely set up to filter out and, you know, kind of catch those kinds of things. So I think the more creative and intentional and thoughtful reviewers can get, that authors, here's a, you know, a special bonus tip. If you're creating A-plus content, think about that as well. You know, just get more thoughtful and intentional with your messaging. And I think you're less likely to get caught up in those kind of Amazon filters that really kind of, excuse my language, but screw you over, because it's not actually a person back there going, this isn't allowed. You know, it's like a system that caught one thing. And we know from experience, trying to fight that battle is very hard.
Well, and you know, I'm glad that you brought this up, because the term trigger words is, it's very real in the Amazon ecosystem. And to your point, this isn't some guy sitting in a back room saying, oh, Amy Cornell, you're not allowed to use that word. It's really, we've actually seen this with Amazon ads. So we've seen, like, I'll start Amazon ads for a client, and one ad set, which has the same exact ad copy, will get approved. And the second ad set with, again, same exact messaging doesn't get approved. And Amazon will write back, and because I'll put in a support ticket, and Amazon will write back and say, this word is disallowed. And I don't write back and tell them, but we use it in our first ad, because I don't want to get the first ad.
Exactly.
Right. So the thing that you have to remember is that we all know that Amazon's often referred to as the machine, right? You are dealing with a machine, but you're also dealing with a machine that is not, you know, that Amazon makes mistakes. So if you encounter a situation, you know, getting a review reinstated is much harder, as Amy said. It's a little bit, you know, it's like an uphill climb. But if you have it, you know, if there is something on your A-plus content that isn't being approved because of a quote unquote, you know, phrase that you used or something, or your Amazon ads, I would recommend pushing back on that, to me, because I think it's worth your time to get to the bottom of it. And in many cases, when I've done that with these ads, they later do get approved because Amazon made a mistake. They, you know, but in terms of your reviews, I mean, reviews are really kind of all of the things that happen in the Amazon system, reviews are probably the easiest to, frankly, for Amazon to pull, because of readers putting too much information in there. Like, oh, I got this book for free on Booksprout, and I really like the author, or, you know, oh, I'm so proud of my nephew for writing this book or something, you know. So if you have a newsletter, if you're posting this on social and you're asking for a review, just make sure to remind anybody reviewing the book, this is what you want to put in the review, probably at the end of the review. So start your review, write the review, and as a closeout, I received a copy of this book in exchange for an honest review, and don't elaborate further than that.
Right. And Penny, don't you think it'd be helpful, like, especially if we're talking about a newsletter? I know sometimes social can get wordy and everybody scans on social. So I realize it's a delicate dance of how much, you know, in-depth content you put on social. But I think in your newsletter, would you think it'd be productive to maybe give an example or two of a couple really helpful, productive reviews? And just say these are some recent reviews that I've received from readers that were amazing, you know, like, and just kind of keep it really positive. But then you're also setting the example in a really productive way that doesn't also draw any sort of negative connotation to the fact that you're like, okay, here's how to write the review, and here's how you write the, you know, the disclaimer. And so you can do that in ways that still keep it super light and still keep people really engaged and excited about reviewing. But then you are also clearly outlining, you know, that you're staying with in terms of service and things like that.
Right, exactly. And not to involve this too far into a why is Amazon pulling my reviews conversation, but it's worth mentioning that sometimes it has nothing to do with the reviews. Sometimes it's the reviewer. So there are people who, for whatever reason, cannot review on Amazon. And maybe they cannot review just books, or maybe it, and who knows what happens. That's their battle to fight. Because a problem with a review tends to follow the reviewer. It doesn't necessarily follow the book. So if you have, for example, if you've outsourced your reviews to a service, like for $100, we'll get you, you know, 100 reviews or whatever, I would bet you that almost all of those reviews are going to wind up getting pulled, because they're not going to understand the trigger word. They're just going to blah, blah, blah. They're just going to post. But the other piece of this is that in a case like that, your book would get flagged because you're propagating, you're using bots. And, you know, I listened to this really interesting podcast the other day, which, again, I know I've been all about like rabbit holes lately. We don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on this, but it talked about the algorithm of choice and how these reviews on Amazon are, Amazon continues to fight bots. I mean, it is like their daily, and I've seen this probably now more than I even did 5 years ago, where I'm looking at a runner and I'm looking at the reviews for a runner, and there's a review on there that said, this cast iron pan set is great. And I'm like, what are you talking? You know, like, why did that not trigger the heck out of Amazon? You know what I mean? And get it pulled. So this is a really, I mean, this is a struggle for Amazon that they are trying to, you know, and sometimes, unfortunately, you get on the backside of Amazon with a whole bunch of bots or whatever reviewing your book. And then that's a problem. But generally speaking, a review getting pulled is due to the reviewer, that the reviewers can't, you know.
100%. But I agree with you, Penny. I think taking... when you said authors should take the lead on this, I think that's very smart. There are a lot of really dedicated, I would say, especially genre fiction readers out there that are voracious readers, and they pay attention to the rules too, because they're doing this a lot. Yeah. You know, these are not novices when it comes to the book world and reviewing and things like that. So they want to do things by the book because this is something they really enjoy. It's a passion of theirs. So I also think, you know, owning that you've done your research, that you've educated yourself on how this works, and being very forthcoming about that when you're soliciting for reviews or getting in touch with people, I think it just shows that you are a professional. You know, you're paying attention, you're doing this the right way. I think it's a really positive way to promote your brand too.
Yeah.
You know, it'll help you stand out. So, I mean, I think it's very smart that the listener, or, you know, requested this. And then also, you know, that's one of the reasons we said we need to do this, because it's true. Like, the more you project as an author that you understand how this works, they will trust you. They will be more likely to leave a review. You know what I mean? You kind of build that rapport with your potential fans and readers as well, which I think says a lot about you and also will help you in the future too, you know?
Right, exactly. And it's always hard for authors. Like, I talk to authors all the time who say, oh, I don't really want to ask for a review. I'm really, you know, I feel like I shouldn't ask for a review. Ask for reviews. Ask for reviews from your newsletter list. Ask for reviews. I really highly recommend that when you do ask them, then your next step is going to be to give them this bit of guidance, because most people, like, there's some crazy number. I think it's like less than 2%, or maybe it's less than 3%. It's still a small number of people who buy books on Amazon actually review them. And part of the reason is because consumers, I mean, look, we are a very review-driven society. I get it. But a lot of times consumers forget. They get to the end of the book and they're like, oh, that was great. And maybe you tell your neighbor, or you tell, you know, people in your book group or runner group or whatever, and they forget. So it's always good to remind them. And then when you do, just make sure that they understand the rules. So thank you so much. As we've always said, we love show ideas. Send those to us. Our contact information is in our show notes. But if you have a penny, you can jot it down. It's info@amarketingexpert.com. And speaking of reviews, we love reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.